It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today's focus is the power of your words, specifically the power that your words have on others, which is often underestimated. There are many different ways to approach life or to select a focus for your life. They may be, for some, education or athletics. Some set other kinds of goals. Some want to accumulate money or become famous. Others want to keep God's commandments. Some focus on learning about God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Others want to master a certain subject or ability. Some want to find the right person to marry. Others focus on job. They want to find the best possible job. Some seek out friends. Others desire service. Some focus only on their children, and so forth. The list of possibilities is very long, perhaps endless. Today, I want to focus on perhaps an approach that's a little different, maybe a little bit unusual. And that direction is on words, specifically how they impact your life and the life of others. To do that, I first want to talk about grace. You may say, well, how do grace and words interrelate here? Well, in Christianity, grace is the free and unmerited favor of God that He gives to people and the world, regardless of whether they're sinners or very, very good people. Grace is a wonderful word, but it is also an archaic religious word, which sometimes loses its meaning, at least partially. When you get right down to it, grace means God's kindness. God's grace is God's kindness to us. We can give grace to others by being kind, especially with our words. One of the greatest ways that God's grace is given to us is through His words, especially through His Son. And one of the greatest kindnesses we can give others is through kind words of encouragement. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, starting at verse 44, we read that we are to live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. In Matthew chapter 1, this is the Joseph Smith translation, in verse 37, it says, quote, "Whoso treasureth up my word shall not be deceived," close quote. Focus on God's word. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, we read that, quote, "By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live," close quote. Words are very important. In Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 31, we read, quote, "They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness," close quote. Latter-day Saints remember in 1 Nephi, chapters 11 and 15, about the iron rod which is the word of God that leads to the tree of life. In Ether chapter 4, verse 8, we read the flip side of that. Quote, woe be unto him that rejecteth the word of God, close quote. And similarly, in Mosiah chapter 26, verse 3, we read, quote, because of their unbelief, they could not understand the word of God, close quote. Words are very important. But what does it mean at the beginning of the Gospel, John, in the opening few verses where it says, quote, in the beginning was the Word? This is talking about Jesus. Why is Jesus the Word? Aren't words something that's spoken? Let's read this, or at least paraphrase it. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 3, quote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, close quote. Jesus here is the Logos in Greek, or the Word. Word here represents the ability of the Savior to communicate and to create with his words. A few verses later, it goes on to mention that all things were created by Jesus. Words are powerful. They impact us all in good ways and in bad ways. Out of all of our choices on how to approach life today, I hope to focus your thoughts in the direction of using your words. President Monson is especially remembered for his compassion and service, specifically in his kind and encouraging words. President Monson told us to be an example in word. He said, quote, let your words tend to edify one another, close quote. He said, the kind words we give will live on in the memory of those who hear them. They will leave something like sunshine in their heart. He told us to speak kind words to each other often. In one of his most memorable talks, President Monson talked about a couple who, both husband and wife, were over 100 years old. They'd been married for 81 years. They were interviewed about their long life, and the wife attributed the longevity of their life and their marriage to speaking kind words to each other. She said that saying kind words, quote, helped us through life. We tried to help each other and not say unkind words to each other, close quote. Stress in our lives comes regardless of our circumstances. We deal with stress and difficulty as best we can. We shouldn't let stress and difficulties get in the way of what is most important, and that is the people around us. We make assumptions. We assume they all know how much we love them, but we should not assume. We should tell them. We should show them also, but we should tell them that we love them. We will never regret kind words or statements of love and affection. Our regrets will come from other things. President Monson suggested that at pivotal moments, we should remember to send a note to a friend, give your child a hug, tell your parents I love you, express thanks, express gratitude. Those are the kinds of things that will be remembered. Eventually, friends move away, children grow up, loved ones pass on. It's easy to take others for granted until the day that they are gone. Take advantage now of those opportunities that you have to say kind words to each other. When we come back, more about words and how they shape our lives, how important they are, and how we might be able to focus in a little different direction and improve the words that we have to elevate those around us. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this program or any other program or about a religious subject or topic that you have a question or a concern about, feel free to be in touch. Send me an email to Martin S., like Sam, martinstanner@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to respond. We're talking today about words and how they shape our lives. As you think of the pivotal moments in your life, you probably think of words. Words someone else spoke to you that were heard by you. Words that you spoke, maybe that you now wish you could take back, or hopefully that make you proud that you said them in the very best sense of the word proud. Words shape lives. I especially remember words of love, encouragement, and wisdom spoken to me by my mother and father when I was young. Words are very, very powerful. Everyone has self-doubt at some point. Everyone has weakness. Everyone has discouragement. Everyone has fear. Everyone has encountered sin, evil, betrayal, hurt, and so forth. When you reflect on what got you out of or beyond those things, you will likely remember it was the power of some words, perhaps coupled with the actions of someone else. Everyone has also felt confidence, strength, encouragement, virtue, kindness, direction, love, usually from words as well as actions, words that were spoken to you. Words are powerful. Realize the tremendous impact of your words. Words can destroy or crush. Words can also elevate and fill with hope and love. Hence, choose your words carefully. Words are inextricably tied to faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 3, we read this, quote, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen, which were not made of things, which do appear." Close quote. Restated, our faith in something gives us hope for it. Even though it hasn't yet happened, our faith in someone gives us hope in them, even though we have not yet seen their potential realized. God is pleased with us when we have faith, because by faith, we help mold and create the future in a positive way. And isn't that what God does? We are becoming like God when we do this. Another way to say this is faith is a strong, unwavering belief in something or someone. Joseph Smith said, "Faith is the moving cause of all action." Consider this. If someone tells you a light switch works, you have faith that when you go flip it, the light will go on. Or if you flip it the other way, it will go off. If somebody tells you the light switch is broken, you probably don't have faith in it. You may not even flip the switch. If you don't have faith in something, you probably probably won't even try. If you don't have faith, you can do something. You either won't try, or in trying, you might not even succeed. We do nothing without thinking about it first. If you don't believe you can do something, you may not even try. If you believe you can do something, you will try and likely succeed. So think positive thoughts. Give yourself positive words. Do not be more harsh on yourself than your friends would be to you. A guiding scripture combining these principles is found in Doctrine and Covenants section 130, starting at verse 18, where we read, and this is a paraphrase, that whatever principle of intelligence we gain in this life, it will rise with us in the resurrection. We also read here that if a person gains more knowledge and intelligence in this life, that it's so much to their advantage in the next world. In Ether chapter 12, verse 27, we have an allied principle here. Think of the power of these words. Quote, "And if you come unto me, I will show you your weakness. I give everyone weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for every single person that humbles themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then I will make weak things become strong unto them." Close quote. Partially paraphrased there. Self-doubt does damage to everyone. In contrast, words of hope and encouragement can give someone the focus, the lift, the encouragement, the self-belief that they need. This is incredibly valuable. Think also about 2 Nephi chapter 2, starting in verse 11, which says that there must be opposition in all things. It doesn't say you might find it or you'll encounter it here and there. It says that there has to be, in effect, opposition in all things, because if not, righteousness could not happen. If there were no wickedness, there wouldn't be righteousness. If there were no happiness, there wouldn't be misery. If there were no good, there wouldn't be bad either, and vice versa. All these things, wickedness and righteousness, happiness and misery, good and bad, would not exist for you. If they remained unseparated, they would essentially be a compound in one, useless, as if dead, having no life or power for you. There would be no life or death, corruption or incorruption, happiness or misery, sense or insensibility. In essence, if opposites did not exist, we are told in 2 Nephi chapter 2, there would be no purpose. Things would have been created for no reason. It would thwart the wisdom of God and God's very purpose for our existence if these opposites did not exist. Why? Because without opposites, there would be no law, there would be no sin, there would be no righteousness. Opposites in the world are for our progression and learning. These are some of the most important things we get. This is how God gives everyone their agency, their freedom of choice, the ability to exercise their freedom. As we go through life, we need to exercise our freedom by giving good, kind words to people around us. Say unexpectedly kind things. Say good things. Say noble things. Choose your words carefully. You have the power to dash hope or create hope. If you choose your words carefully, you will find you have the very power of God, or very similar to it, to help those around you, those you encounter in life. And that's the essence of goodness. That's the essence of God's grace for us, which we can impart to others. Be kind to all those you encounter in life, because all, just like you, are fighting a very hard battle. Choose your words carefully. Choose your words with kindness and love and mercy for those you encounter. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.